Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason watches MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, right now, we are giving away $50 to Sasquatch and Wildcard Casino up in Blackhawk. If you have won in the past, you're not eligible to win again. And while you're up there, you can see how you can win a Ranger Crew 900. If you don't want it, no problem. They're going to give you nearly $10,000 in cash instead. Grand prize drawings, 25th and 26th of this month. Check that, 24th and 25th of this month. First caller on the Go Fast Energy Drink hotline and text line, 303-831-1340. 303-831-1340. You are going to go to Sasquatch and Wildcard Casino on us. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay, Team USA, getting ready for the Olympics this upcoming summer in Japan. They had an exhibition game against Nigeria and lost. Remember in 1992 when the Dream Team played Angola and the players from Angola were asking the U.S. players for autographs before the game because they were so starstruck? Well, the players from Nigeria were not starstruck. They kept firing threes and hitting them. And Team USA, with Kevin Durant, with Bradley Beal, with a host of all-stars, lost that game 90-87. So you're thinking, well, maybe that's a fluke. Maybe that's an aberration. Maybe the guys weren't ready. Well, then they played Australia. Not a team with Andrew Gaze. Not a team with Luke Longley. A team with a bunch of guys who are basically backups on most NBA rosters. And the USA lost that game as well. Are you concerned about this?
I wasn't concerned when they lost to Nigeria on Saturday night. Nothing against Nigeria. They do have eight players who are on NBA rosters right now. But that was a game that was won from outside. It felt like your typical 14 over 3 upset in the NCAA tournament. Okay, they get hot. Nigeria was 20 of 42 from three-point land. They pull off the win. It happens. Australia did not win like that last night. Australia out-rebounded the U.S. Went back and watched some of the game this afternoon. Australia out-hustled the U.S. Yes, you're missing Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday and Devin Booker right now, but
no, you're not. No,
you should be able to.
You should not be missing
Australia
any of those
or
guys.
Nigeria.
You should not be missing any of those.
Well,
guys.
You're missing them. You don't have them, but you should be able. But you're still throwing out an all-star lineup for your starting five right now, even if you're kind of basically short a point guard at this point. You're still throwing out an all-star lineup. Talent-wise, you should be able to beat sides that, while they have 6, 7, 8 NBA players, pardon me, for the most part, that pizza was so good. For the most part,
well done.
You're talking about fringe guys. Like one of the best players on Nigeria, for example, was the G League Player of the Year a year ago.
Ooh.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
But if you're struggling against Nigeria and Australia, what's going to happen when you play France, who's got Rudy Gobert out there?
Let me tell you something, okay? Don't tell me that these American players don't play together very much. Because I can promise you, Team Australia, they don't have get-togethers every weekend where they practice.
When is Patty Mills playing with the rest of the Australian team? Exactly.
Okay, let's just take injuries out of the equation completely. Who's the best team in the NBA? Injuries out of the equation, who would win the title this year?
The Lakers.
Okay. So, could the Lakers beat a team that had Kevin Durant, Dame Lillard, Bradley Beal, Bam Adebayo, and Jason Tatum?
Probably not.
They'd get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And these chumps can't beat Nigeria. These guys would be the overwhelming favorite to win the NBA title. LeBron James would lose in four.
If this was
the lineup, and they couldn't beat Australia,
are you kidding me? I mean, this is kind of it's a chemistry and cohesion thing, but in part...
The other teams don't have chemistry and cohesion. Well, they don't play pickup games over the weekend.
But it basically equalizes everything. And again, it leaves you susceptible. But again, the Nigeria loss, what you could explain. The Australia game, again... You didn't. I mean, it's an exhibition. I get it, but you didn't want it as much as they did.
And they
are susceptible to now having another Olympics like in 2004. Remember in Athens, they clunked home with the bronze medal. They lost three games over the course of that tournament, including the semifinal game to Argentina. That was Argentina. Remember they had Manu Ginobili leading the way at the time.
What I'm about to say might get some people upset, but I really don't care. Luka Doncic, what country does he play for?
Slovenia.
And you know what? He takes a lot of pride being from that country.
Absolutely.
And you know what Kevin Durant thinks about the United States? How much money can he make? He doesn't care about being an American and playing for his country. And neither does Dame Lillard or Bradley Beal or Jason Tatum. They don't care about being Americans. They care about getting paid, being NBA players, and being famous. They don't care about the uniform that they're wearing. They don't take pride in being from the United States, because if they did, they would not have lost to Nigeria and they would not have lost to Australia. They're a bunch of rich players who don't care about anybody but themselves, and they sure as hell don't care about their country, because when you wear the flag, you should have some pride in playing defense and trying to win the game. Luka Doncic takes pride in the country that he plays for.
I'll actually say it's not true of every guy. One guy that I know takes a lot of pride is Bam Adebayo.
Good.
Bam chose to play for the U.S. It's funny. He could have played for Nigeria. He has a Nigerian father.
There you go. Well,
imagine what would have happened in that game if Adebayo had been playing for Nigeria. It would have been a 10 or 12 point loss.
Again, what I'm about to say is going to sound completely controversial. Generally speaking, most immigrants feel more proud to be American than Americans do. You know why? Because they chose to come here. They wanted to study to pass the exam. It was important to them. We just have it by birthright. Those who choose to come here as immigrants have to take a test. They have to learn our Constitution. They have to do things.
They are more aware of the civics and politics of this country than a wide swath of people who had birthright citizenship.
We take it for granted. It's like people who are Jewish, who were not born Jewish. Listen, I have a lot of Orthodox relatives, and I'm painting this with a broad stroke, and I'm sorry I don't mean it that way. There are a lot of Americans who are very proud to be American. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But those who take an exam and are forced to do the work...
have to study.
They care about being an American because they know what the United States has to offer that they didn't have in their country. So they don't take it for granted. It's like people, and I'm Jewish, so I can say this. It's like people who are not Jewish who convert to Judaism. Those people tend to be actually, for the most part, pretty religious. You know why? Because they really have to learn about the religion. And if you're going to put in that type of time and that type of money, then you know what? It's important to you, as opposed to me being Jewish by birthright.
So you don't think like winning a gold medal isn't important to these guys?
Oh, it's important to them. It's important to them.
But it does make them more money if they win the gold medal, right? It's another line on the resume, as it were.
You know what? You think Luka Doncic cares at all? He cares about representing his country.
He took his country to the Olympics in basketball for the first time. And seeing, if you saw any part of that, this is really a deep dive, but if you saw any part of that game where Slovenia a couple weeks ago beat Lithuania in Lithuania to clinch a spot in the Olympics and saw how emotional Luka Doncic was. You knew that meant more to him than anything he's ever done with the Mavs.
I believe, and I could be wrong here, unless one of these players wants to give me a call. For the American team, it's about winning the game. For the other countries, it's about winning the game for their country.
And what it means for their country, not just overall and overall, but also in their sport. I mean,
it's just a game. I'm sorry, for Kevin Durant, right. It is just another win on his, it's another notch on his bedpost that he won a game. It happened to be for the Olympics. He's one step closer to a gold medal, and that's great. But I'm sorry, don't tell me there is an American pride factor going on here when you lose to Nigeria and Australia.
Well, and remember another thing. I mentioned Argentina from 04 beating the U.S. in the semifinals, and Argentina went on to win the gold. Argentina that year is the only nation other than the United States to win a gold medal in men's basketball in the NBA era, 1992 onward. That team, led by Manu Ginobili, to this day, they are national heroes.
I'll tell you,
in Argentina, in a way that just doesn't happen here, because it's not just kind of being American taking for granted. We take success in basketball for granted.
I'll tell you who takes pride in being an American in team sports. The men's soccer team and the women's soccer team.
Yes.
Because they are not multimillionaires. They don't have a lot of fame. A lot of them are probably playing in the MLS. Some of them are playing overseas. Being an American means something, especially when you know you are the underdog in men's soccer. Women's soccer, the U.S. women's soccer team is traditionally one of the best.
But they feel a great sense of pride to uphold the standard that has been set.
These basketball players don't give a crap about playing for the United States. As a matter of fact, playing for Team USA,
I wouldn't go that far.
It's an inconvenience.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, that's kind of putting thoughts in.
It's an inconvenience.
But they've all.
I guess I have to play because I'm one of the best players.
In their defense, it's at the end of a long season, and some of the, you know, say this for Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, they're basically wiping out a good chunk of their off season, and they're going to go over and play in Tokyo right after the finals. How much are they going to have left? But I will not denigrate their pride because those guys, they really don't have to do it, and they're going over there and playing. And so maybe,
wait, who are the guys again?
Drew Holiday,
right?
Devin Booker,
right?
Chris Middleton.
Outside of Devin Booker, those other two guys are not one of the top 12 United States players in the country.
But they are choosing to play.
They are. Well, here,
I agree that it's not the best 12.
No, and
ever since the,
because they want
the last time it
play.
Was the best 12, or at least the best 11, was the dream team.
Correct.
Should have been Shaq O'Neal instead of Christian Leitner.
The thrill is gone. The thrill is gone for Kevin Durant because he's done it before. It's now more of an inconvenience, and I want to get ready for next season. Pick the guys who want to be there. And if Kevin Durant doesn't want to be there, then he doesn't need to be there.
But the problem is the NBA also has a vested interest in this, and it's harder for them to sell a tournament without some stars. I mean, the NBA needs KD. They need Dame, especially because so many of the stars are global. Hey, they've got Luka Doncic in there. Great. But Serbia didn't qualify, and Jokic wouldn't have played anyway. Canada isn't in there, and Jamal Murray couldn't have played anyway.
Right. Coming up after the break, Peyton Manning has some very interesting thoughts about Aaron Rodgers coming here, and you're not going to like those thoughts. That's next. No, we're taking you home, I'm loving you so, the way I used to love you.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. I want to thank, by the way, our friends Mike and Debbie from Marco's Pizza and Aurora for coming down a chicken Florentine pizza, outstanding, and then one of these pizza bowls that has no bread at all, and it is absolutely fabulous. So head on over to Marco's Pizza, again, two great locations in Aurora. One is off of Quincy. The other one is off of Smoky Hill Road. I'm having a tough time talking because I'm having some of this pizza, and my mouth is like salivating. Danny, can you tell that already?
Yeah, I'm going through some of the same kind of thing over here.
It's just so stinking good. It's like addicting. That's how good it is. All right, time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
All right, Aaron Rodgers says that he's going to decide about his plans for this upcoming season, you know, right now, up until training camp. We'll see if he shows up. In the meantime, Peyton Manning was asked about the situation at last night's Home Run Derby, saying, quote, "I hope the Packers and Rodgers can make amends and work it out. That team is so close to winning a title," talking about Green Bay. "My gut," Manning goes on to say, "is Aaron Rodgers is not coming to Denver. My gut is Denver is going to have Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater be their quarterback. At this point, you kind of got to know what your plan is. You can't be having a new quarterback 3 weeks before the season." Do you think that Peyton Manning, for starters, you and I talked about this in the last segment, that Manning is a historian and he loves the tradition of the game and he loves the fact that Aaron Rodgers is a Packer. He will forever be known as a Packer, although you probably could have said the same thing about Peyton Manning when he was with the Colts, but then, you know, went to two Super Bowls with the Broncos. But with that, do you think he might have a rooting interest in Rodgers not coming here and having Drew Lock succeed because he mentored him?
Wow. And that's a good question.
Thank you. I came up with it all by myself.
If Drew Lock emerges as a quarterback that is worthy of building a franchise around, some of the credit, whether it's deserved or not, is going to go to Peyton Manning. If he makes huge leaps this year, then inevitably people are going to point to the fact that Drew did spend a little bit of time with Peyton Manning. It's not like Drew and Peyton were together every day for weeks. Basically, it was a couple.
Like 10 hours.
Yeah, it was basically like one long day.
Yeah, but I guess my question is, do you think...
But people are always looking to connect Peyton with what the Broncos are, if it's positive.
Brock Osweiler spent, what, 3 years here? 4 years here?
Yes.
Do you think Manning spent that type of time with Osweiler?
I think... They spent so much time in meetings together.
Different. I'm talking about over the course of time when you add up the hours the same room.
And that's the thing, that it wouldn't have been necessary for them to do much on their own because Peyton was the first guy in, and Brock was usually there right there with him.
Here.
Because Brock figured if Peyton was there early, he needed to be there early. So those two had countless amounts of time together, so they wouldn't have needed that 10-hour thing.
Here, let's look at some of the... Give me the top four quarterbacks in the modern era of all time. Top four or five, and I'll tell you what they might have in common.
Okay, Tom Brady.
Gotcha.
Peyton Manning.
Gotcha.
Joe Montana.
Gotcha.
Patrick Mahomes.
Now, take him out of it because he's just way too new.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, what about Brett Favre? Top five?
Yeah, he's probably the next. Brett Favre and Steve Young are the next guys.
Okay. So let's use Tom Brady and Brett Favre as our metric.
Okay.
And then let's use Manning as our metric. Who has been under Peyton Manning that has been good? Even marginal. And the answer is no one. If you look at Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett.
Even Matt Castle won a division title.
Matt Castle. And even
Brian Hoyer went and won a division title as part of the Texans in 15.
And don't tell me all those guys were loaded with talent because they were not. Then again, you could say the same thing. Jim Sorgi wasn't loaded with talent, right? Brett Favre.
So your eyes are on Kyle Trask now in Tampa. because maybe. he's Tom Brady's understudy.
Maybe Tom Brady is more willing to share and help. Now, I'm not suggesting that Peyton Manning isn't. Peyton Manning strikes me as the type that he will tell you stuff, but he also wants you to go to him.
See, and I
don't know how much information that Manning really volunteers, but let's call it like it is. I was told that Aaron Rodgers could have started day one in Green Bay after he was drafted. He was just that good. But Brett Favre, you can make the case, had something to do with his development. And oh, by the way, even though there was a rivalry between Joe Montana and Steve Young had a lot of talent, but he came to San Francisco being an absolute bust from Tampa.
Because he was all over the place, and he kind of had to be in Tampa. He had to freelance because they didn't have a lot around him, and he needed the structure that the West Coast offense provided. Yet he was always able to kind of provide that little bit extra, and that's what made Steve Young special was this. He could operate within the constraints of a precise system, but when things broke down, he was able to make things happen on his own. Joe Montana was the same way. Yesterday, at home in the background, I had on the 1981 NFC Championship.
And you remember, who doesn't have that on in the background?
Right. It was on NFL Network and on their app, and I put it on. But you don't remember the catch by Dwight Clark starts with Joe Montana rolling out, buying time. There's a play exactly like that with Montana earlier in the game. Too Tall Jones is in his face. He's rolling out, and then he just kind of improvs a throw. I believe he hits Freddie Solomon. And it's that ability to kind of go off script a little bit. And that's Favre had that ability. Rodgers has that ability. And even Peyton had that ability, but he didn't have that ability to go off script with his legs. It was kind of extending things with a look and a fake and a throw.
Here's the funny thing. That pass to Dwight Clark was not an accident. I'm being dead serious. It was not. But here's the reason why. Bill Walsh, as a coach, would force his quarterback to do the play over and over and over again if he didn't do what? Do you know the answer to that?
Tell me.
He had to throw to the wide receiver at least 6 to 8 inches ahead of him. And if he did not, they would run the play over and over and over
again. Because as we all know, a perfect throw is the one where you lead the receiver.
And that's what Bill Walsh stressed. He said, you have to lead, and if you can't do it in practice, you're going to get it right in practice because that's what we have to do in games. Why do you think Jerry Rice was so successful?
A lot of his best plays were catch and runs.
That's right, because he was led.
Out in front of him, make a man miss and take off.
Right, and let's look at Peyton Manning when he practiced. If it was a 7.5-yard out for any wide receiver, and Manning knew this in his head, if you ran at 7 yards, you were doing that play 10 times until you ran it 7.5 yards.
Now, one thing, I just want to go back to something early in the conversation. Young learned from what he saw with Montana.
No, and by the way, Steve Young did not win a Super Bowl with Bill Walsh.
He won it with George Seifert.
That's right.
And Mike Shanahan is the OC.
Correct.
So Steve Young learned from watching Joe Montana, made him a better quarterback.
Yep.
Brett Favre learned from, or Aaron Rodgers learned from watching Brett Favre, made him a better quarterback. Even not a great quarterback, but Tom Brady picked up some things watching Drew Bledsoe, a pretty good quarterback in his own right.
Right.
Is it possible that the things that made Peyton Manning special, especially talking about how his mind is on a whole other level?
It's on the top level. I don't know if for as great as Brady is, I'm sorry, it's not the same as Manning.
Is it just one of those things where what Peyton has,
you can't teach?
It can't be taught. Because you could argue that Peyton Manning has the most beautiful mind of any player who ever played the sport of football.
Yes. Yeah.
And as we saw, that was his superpower, because when the body completely betrayed him, the mind was still able to get his teammates in the right places to make plays in that run to Super Bowl 50.
When you look at Brady and Manning, because they're always compared, even though Brady has won far more Super Bowls, Manning was not an average Joe. He had a mind like a computer that thought fast and very competitive. Brady very, very competitive. I don't know if his mind works the same way as Manning. Manning is the exception because he is like a computer out there. Brady is an average Joe. It's easier to relate to him. I think it's easier to relate to him.
And I think now that we're seeing Tom's personality come out because he's not under Bill Belichick anymore.
Right.
Tom is, I think, entering a phase where he's finally becoming beloved.
Because he's one of the guys.
Yeah.
He's throwing Super Bowl trophies from one boat to another boat.
I mean,
and he's wasted on tequila while doing it.
He looks, but even like in the games, I noticed this last year watching him, he looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
At the end, toward the end of New England, didn't look like he was having a lot of fun, but it looks like he's having fun in Tampa.
Coming up after the break, baseball commissioner Rob Manfred essentially held his State of the Baseball Union speech. And there are going to be some major changes to baseball moving forward, having to do with the rules that were put in place because of COVID. That's next.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Beat the drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, want to tell you about Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. And I'm not going to say that they saved my marriage because I'm going to be getting married next year. But with my fiance and I, who, yes, we do sleep in the same bed together, I was keeping her up all night because of my snoring. It was like a buzzsaw. And my daughter, who sleeps in the next room, it was keeping her up as well. I'd gone to a place like this probably about 3-4 years ago. And I got to tell you, the mouthpiece was so incredibly uncomfortable, I stopped wearing it. So I went to go see my friend Dr. E over at Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center, and his bedside manner, for starters, was nothing short of terrific. But the way the technology has advanced with this stuff has been nothing short of incredible. And now I have a mouthpiece that is really, really comfortable. I wear it at night. I don't even think about taking it out. And I can honestly tell you, since I've been wearing this for 2 weeks now, Mandy has not heard me one time. Not once.
Wow.
It knocked it out. So if this sounds like you or someone you know, and if you're a woman out there and you're married and your husband is like a buzzsaw like I was, talk to my guy, Jason, Dr. E, at Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. Or if this is you and you want to do right by the person you're with, go to Refresh Snoring and Sleep Apnea Center. Legitimate testimonial here. Mandy's not heard me one time, and I didn't think this was going to be possible. With that, go to refreshedsleep.com. That's refreshedsleep.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
Okay, we have some breaking news here. This coming from Darren Dreger. He covers the NHL with TSN, and he is talking about the Avalanche and Gabriel Landeskog and the negotiations. He's saying, quote, the position of the Avs is going to have to change significantly, according to sources, or absolutely Gabe Landeskog will go test the free agent market early in the process. There is no doubt about that, but the position on both sides doesn't look very strong right now.
It actually doesn't really surprise me that there's a little bit of a hold up here in this particular deal, because based on the contracts they've got coming up, you've got Philip Grubauer contract expiring, Cale Makar, even though he's not an unrestricted free agent, he's due for a new contract. the Avs are in tough choice mode here.
Rank the three guys who are unrestricted free agents, and I'm not including Brendan Saad. So you have Makar, Landeskog,
right?
Guys who are going to get a new contract, right? Makar is a restricted free agent. Yeah. So rank Grubauer, Landeskog, and Makar in order of importance.
With all respect to Gabe, I've got to go Makar, Grubauer, Landeskog.
And you know what? I read a story today, I think it was on TSN, about the free agent goalies who are going to be out there. And my goodness, every single guy they listed had problems.
There isn't an upgrade out there. That's the problem.
No. I mean, there's a guy out there who's coming off of surgery. There's a guy off there who's 37. There's a guy out there who, you know, is bouncing back from something or another. The best free agent goalie out there is Grubauer. Yeah. I am still not sure he is the right guy for a 16-win run to get a Stanley Cup. And unless Joe Sakic believes he has somebody on his roster who can get the job done, there's no one else to choose from but Grubauer.
And the thing is, you ask yourself, what's the better bet? Is it going into free agency or the trade market trying to find somebody, or betting on Grubauer stepping forward? Because he's in his prime years, but he became a starter relatively late compared to other goalies age-wise. So there's still room for growth, especially in high-leverage playoff situations. Your odds are better that he amps it up another level in the postseason, that he finds that other gear that has been missing in the biggest of games, rather than finding somebody on the market. And that's why I think Grubauer has to be a higher priority than Landeskog. Makar is the highest priority because Kale is special.
Here's the thing.
Special talent.
Here's the thing. 3-4 years ago, there were guys willing to take smaller deals. Nathan MacKinnon took a smaller deal. Rantanen got paid. Mm-hmm. But Landeskog, when he signed his extension, he knew he wasn't taking a big deal. Yeah. And it was like all for the team. But now that we have seen the Avs get knocked out of the playoffs and not reach the Western Conference Finals, I think the days of giving discounts are over. And it's going to start with Makar, and now we have Landeskog, who's probably saying, you know what, I'm not taking the $5 million you're offering me. Mm-hmm. It's got to be north of six because someone will pay me.
And don't forget, also on top of all this, we're going to be seeing the protected list going out for the expansion draft for the Seattle Kraken here.
Yeah, but Eric Johnson did the Avs a solid, didn't he?
He did. But you're still gonna take a hit there as well. And there may be some creative deals that could be made regarding the Kraken to create some cap space. That's something that you're gonna hear about. You're hearing about with the Avs. You're hearing about it in Tampa with the Lightning as well, with their own massive cap crunch. But this is tough choice time for the Avs, and I think this may result in, at least in the regular season, a step backward before they can hopefully make the big leap forward.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
A Bronco is celebrating his birthday today, shares it with a big-time movie star. Also, we'll talk about a little mishap that happened during the Tampa Bay Lightning's boat parade celebration yesterday. That's all coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Suddenly, red blue lights flash us from behind.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com.
Just In Case You Missed It, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, as the Tom Brady effect continues to take hold on Tampa Bay, the Lightning celebrating their second Stanley Cup win in as many years. And yesterday during the boat parade, a little bit of an unfortunate accident there where they took they put a big old dent in the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup was then carried out by the Hall of Fame's keepers of the cup, with a blanket over that top cup piece that was dented. Now, would you see this as kind of a badge of honor to the level of the Lightning celebration? And do you think that maybe the keepers of the cup were overreacting a little bit with all the theatrics with a blanket treating the cup like it was a dead body?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe the blankets were an overreaction, but if you see a picture of what happened, this isn't just a little dent. Basically, the top of the cup, instead of being round, it basically, one side is flat. I mean, this is something that it's not going to be as simple as kind of buffing it out. This is going to take a little work to get back. It's just, there seems to be this thing with how Tampa Bay teams treat trophies, because you've got Tom Brady just tossing the Lombardi trophy over the water, and you have the Stanley Cup that has the top is current turned from round to kind of, you know, half oval kind of thing.
I'm sure people will argue the World Cup trophy is the most important, most historic trophy in team sports.
Actually, but
some would argue.
Yes, some would argue. They would be wrong.
The most historic trophy in all of sports is the Stanley Cup, because it has every name of every player that has ever won the Stanley Cup, and they keep building layers. Mm-hmm. Another way to put this in perspective, they have guys that are literally on payroll with white gloves to chaperone that thing around. Guys get paid. It is their job to do this. It is not that way with the Lombardi Trophy. It is not that way with the World Series Trophy or the Larry O'Brien Trophy or probably the World Cup Trophy. Yes, putting a blanket over it and making it look like it should be something out of Law and Order Criminal Intent might be a little dramatic, but at the end of the day, for these guys, mm-hmm. I'm guessing the NHL looks at these guys and they're saying, you messed up.
Yeah.
You messed up. This is your career to wear white gloves and protect that thing, and you didn't, and they wanted to cover up the damage.
Protect it almost at all costs. But I mean, but there was that picture that got out there that showed the damage to the cup. But they've got a lot of work ahead, because I believe something they couldn't do last year. I think it's about to go on its annual tour where each player gets it for a little bit and can take it wherever they want. And so inevitably the cup goes around the world. Part of the charm of it. And there is no trophy that elicits the kind of reactions when it is displayed as the Stanley Cup.
And oh, by the way, did you see the picture of Kucherov on a boat? He had the Stanley Cup in one arm and the Super Bowl trophy in the other arm.
Yeah.
That was one hell of a picture. How'd you like to be in that picture?
As a Tampa Bay sports aficionado, I want that picture.
Have you seen
it? Kucherov, yeah, where he's got the cup and the Lombardi.
Well, you can get it. All you have to do is print it off on your computer.
I know, but I want a high quality one of it, and I'm probably gonna put it in a frame with my sports memorabilia and all that.
I'd be willing to bet
this is a special. Someone got that, and someone's gonna sell it. This is a special moment for Tampa Bay. I mean, Denver didn't have the cup and the Lombardi at the same time. They just missed it by a couple of years. It's something amazing down there.
Just in case you missed it, a very happy 26th birthday to Broncos offensive lineman Dalton Reisner. Shares a birthday with none other than Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford has had some truly iconic roles in his long film career. What, in your opinion, is his best role or his best film?
Ooh, Harrison Ford? God, he has made so many good movies. I mean, you have to say the Star Wars ones are probably the best.
Indiana Jones is one, but I mean, he's done good work elsewhere. I mean, even though he wasn't the right age. He played Jack Ryan very well when he did two adaptations of Tom Clancy novels back in the 90s, Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger.
How about Regarding Henry? Is that up? I'm joking.
Yeah, that's... Hopefully the next Indiana Jones movie will be a much better end to that saga than Crystal Skull was. Also, don't forget Blade Runner. Terrific in that one,
never
too.
Never saw it.
Really? Wow. No. Figured you had.
I'm good.
Team USA taking care of Facu Campazzo, Luis Scola, and Argentina right now, so it looks like they might be starting to get back on track. Argentina has far fewer NBA players, though, than the other teams they
face. Thank God.
I mean, Facu might be their best player.
What's the score?
They were up 20 the last I saw. It just went away. I was watching a stream on Twitch, and it now just says USA Basketball will be right back. Wow. Just in case you missed it, according to reports, the Warriors have had internal discussions about trading for Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah.
How would you see a Steph Curry and Dame Lillard backcourt working? Would you have one of them at the one and the two? Who would you have be more ball dominant? How would that work out between those two, possibly Ooh. Two of the greatest shooters of all time?
Well, Steph's a point guard anyway.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, you have Dame at the two.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to guard that team on the perimeter?
Steph's done points since he was in college. I mean, yeah. he was forced into that role in Davidson and did well. He's done well with it in Golden State. But we actually talked about this a few weeks ago, how right. you think of worst possible news for the Denver Nuggets.
Yep.
Going forward in the next couple of seasons.
Yep.
One headline that you will just cringe and cry at if you're a Nuggets fan is if you read that Dame is headed to Golden State. You know, that's heartbreaking.
You know who's more upset than Nuggets fans?
Who?
Chauncey Billups.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, welcome. Welcome as our new head coach, and we just traded away our best player.
Yeah, enjoy going 28-54.
Exactly. Exactly. That was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, man, we've had a lot of hail lately. So what are you going to do? My suggestion is you get in touch with the company that was recently voted Denver's best roofing company, talking about Masterpiece Roofing. They can get you to, or they can find a way to get your insurance company to pay for your roof if there is hail damage. Call for a free roof inspection today. They are great at doing that. Actually, they specialize in getting the insurance company to pay for things that they don't want to pay for. Go to masterpieceroofing.com. Alex and Danny, great job today. I want to thank our friends from Marco's Pizza, Debbie and Mike, for coming down. We have Florentine Pizza sitting in front of us, as well as a pizza bowl. And guys, that will be your dinner tonight. Enjoy. Mace, great to see you. It's been a long time since I've been on vacation, but we have shows this week. Is that correct?
Rest of the week. Next 3 days. Let's do it.
Make the best possible night you can. Oh, my baby's gone with the wind.